When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
I was going to dress up as a stupid idiot. But they didn't have any more Jericho costumes, man.
Zing! Zing!
All right, Roman.
I have a feeling I know where this is going.
Oh, no.
You know what happens to people who insult me on Halloween, right, Roman? You know what happens? You know what happens? You know what happens?
You just made the list!
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, squashing beefs for over 5 years. This week, we settle some scores, baby.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I am joined, as always, with the overhung Baco. How are you, sir?
I'm a little hungover this morning, Luce. I have to admit, I was up late with the Decibel Geek Boys, and I went rock and Ron Runyon on the bit. So apparently, I don't remember how to drink because it didn't seem like that big a deal. But if it's almost like I turned into a pumpkin, like Cinderella or something like that. You know, at a certain point, I'm required to stop drinking. But
my God! All right. Well, you're supposed
apparently
to be
there is alcohol in Coors Light.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
But other than that, I'm good.
I was going to say, I look forward to hearing that, and I'm sure you do, to figure out what the hell you said.
I can't wait to hear what I said. Oh, my Lord. It should be fun. But before we get into today's stuff, our last episode was the Slash one, and we have gotten a lot of really good feedback on that. Apparently, the world needed to hear a little bit about Slash and not just Appetite for Destruction. So, it was a fun episode, and just really... I don't know. I was really pleased with the responses. We got a lot of comments, a lot of activity on social media. So, and if we were organized, we could actually list off the people who shared it.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some nice comments, and it was just a cool thing. It's good to it was good during and after just revisiting the whole catalog, putting that episode together. So hopefully somebody out there discovered a gem or not, or inspired them to go back. But good conversation.
And agreed. And the opening to the show, though, featured a new voice I hadn't heard. Luce Jr. made an appearance.
He did. He also was revisiting the Slash catalog and was was quite inspired. So
now yeah, I met both your kids when I was out there. It's 5 years ago now, coming this November. So in my head, they're exactly the same age. You know what I mean? I have not seen them age. So I want to say 5 and 2 was the age back then. So is he like 10 years old now? How old is Luce Jr.?
He'll be 10 this month. This month. Yep. So exactly.
No, Father of the year, though. Let's see when it is.
That's right. Listen, we're drinking coffee. I'm not drunk, but my head is. But the same thing as when you're tired, you're basically drunk in a way.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. He seemed very natural. Is there any chance you're going to try to do a switcheroo where he'll hold up like that face fan in front of the camera and I'll see that and he'll be actually doing the show?
There'll be more rumors about my death, and he'll take over.
Yeah,
but I plan handing him the torch in I'm gonna say 25 years.
Okay,
he'll take over.
Future podcasting, better parenting through podcasting, right?
That's right, exactly.
All right, well, what kind of stuff we want to get into today, man? We have all sorts of shit to talk about.
We need to inform the public the important things that's going on in pop culture. And, of course, in the music industry. Correct?
Correct. But we do have to get a beef out of the way here.
Oh, yes. That's true.
As most of the listeners know, a few months back, we did a Hot in the Shade episode. And it was widely acclaimed, highly praised.
Yes.
Paul Stanley talked about it. You know, I mean, he didn't. But, no, we got a lot of great... That was another one that got a lot of buzz for us. But, yeah, so what we did is that we didn't just break down Hot in the Shade. We did a two-part episode where we basically resequenced it. We each picked our own sequence, and we ran through each track. And then we eliminated, I think, 4 songs each and turned out five songs each. Yeah, we turned out a 10-track album. And once the episodes were out, we also kind of, to engage the audience, we threw out a poll. Like, this is the 10-track record I did, which was called Baco in the Shade, and yours was named Loose in the Cannon. So, yeah, we put up a little poll where people could vote on my 10-track perfectly sequenced record and your far inferior version. I think it was only 2 songs different.
Once again, it's a Hot in the Cannon.
Hot in the Cannon, yeah.
But it's a Loose in the Cannon is more.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's just a variation of my name, Loose in the Cannon, which is not something that you
Loosen the Cannon. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I want to go with that. Let's go ahead, go to YouPorn and hit Loosen the Cannon.
Please do. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But it was so a lot of fun. It was a great episode. It was good to get all the feedback.
Yeah. Do you know how you get Loosen the Cannon?
How do you get Loosen the Cannon?
First, you need to find a green man Alicia and a 3-pronged dog. That's for you Priest fans.
Yeah.
Little drop there. All right, go ahead.
All you perverted 12-year-old Priest fans.
That's right.
I'm raising my hand right now. But yeah, so it was great. It was really cool. You know, we dip into the Kiss well once in a while. We are not an exclusive Kiss podcast. But there are many of them out there, as you know. And about a month later, another show basically did the exact same thing, everything to the T. They had a poll of, hey, vote on this guy's list and this guy's list and this guy's list. And they actually...
Did they resequence it? They resequenced it.
They dialed it down to 10 tracks. Theirs was, you know, horribly sequenced, but I only accept mine. they shouldn't take that too personally.
Sure.
But... you can educate them on that. They took it a step further, Luce, and this is where the rub is. They acknowledged that we did it before they did it, and that they were kind of taking the idea from us, and that's fine. We're all friends here, but they would not even mention us by name. The whole time we were credited as another show.
What? Another? What is this? The 1980s when you're comparing detergents on a commercial and it's brand A and brand B?
Yeah, and they got a black sticker across our face.
Yeah. No, come on. We're influenced by their shows, but we acknowledge them. Come on, man.
Yeah, how hard is it to say, Baco and Loose Cannon talked about this over on Cobras and Fire. Go check that out because it's far superior than what we're about to do. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking. And I'm not even sure I want to mention their name now. I kind of want to be petty about it. I don't know. What do you think?
Is this a show where one of the hosts doesn't think that sequencing is important?
Yes, there is a member of this Kiss podcast that doesn't think sequencing is important.
Now, is this also a show where if the host all of a sudden needed to leave town and had a go bag that would be a vinyl record player. He could just fold in half and go.
A dusty fold over top vinyl, yeah, turntable, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Podcast Rock City.
Ah, you cracked the code. Yeah, those motherfuckers, those sons of bitches. And they claim at the beginning that they had actually thought about doing that long before ours came out. But once ours did come out, they decided to wait. And they only waited like a month. I'm like, yeah. Honestly, if you would have done it at exactly the same time or a week later, I would have had a much easier time believing that you already had that sucker locked in. But to me, they literally stole it. They did not think of that on themselves. I'm calling them out.
I'm telling you this, too, is that I'm not sure if you knew this, but a month before Netflix came out, I came up with that idea.
Yeah.
The iPhone? Soon as Steve Jobs mentioned it, I had that thing, the prototype, in my house. Same
I actually
kind of
had the conceptual idea of the movie Mystery Alaska before that movie came out.
I don't even know what that means. And Grandma's Boy, I have the script almost exactly to the T, every single word.
Who didn't sleep in a race car bed till they're in their 20s?
That's true. Well, we know two guys in Canada that have one.
Side by side, locked in there. Mm-hmm. Like they're racing when they go to bed.
That's right.
Wally and the Meister, like, just talking to each other, like, staring at the ceiling, like, making motor sounds. Wing, wing.
It's like a Canadian Step Brothers movie.
There we go, yeah.
They're actually the only podcasters who ever got a speeding ticket while podcasting, too. In their head.
No wonder if they podcast in their race car beds.
That's probably reckless driving. Get a DUI in the race car bed.
Well, much love to Joe and Sonny and everybody over there at Podcast Rock City. Look for a recreation of this episode about a month later from now on Podcast Rock City. And by the way, you're welcome. We just said your name. How hard was that? In other Kiss podcast-related beefs, there is another show that I listen to pretty frequently. Is the Shout It Out Loud cast. Both of the hosts, Zeus and Tom, appear on the whatever, never mind kind of thing I'm doing. But backing up a little bit here, about a week or two ago, Peter Criss made some news, all of a sudden came out of the woodwork, and it really got the Kiss universe all aflutter. The Matt Porters of the world were sharing this video, and it's Peter in his living room, and he's singing Don't Let Me Down from his 78 solo album. Now, I actually enjoy Peter's record, the 78 solo record. I enjoy it for what it is. I just think it's well done, well produced, and there's some pretty good songs on there. It's not something I crank up and, you know, tap a keg to, but that said, you know, Peter's an old man now. I mean, you know, he's in his 70s or something like that. I'm not sure his actual age. But this was pretty fucking embarrassing. It was like watching my dad do karaoke, which would be cute if it was my dad doing it and he was 70. And it wasn't that he couldn't sing it. He did okay there. It was more that it was like it was an actual karaoke kind of setup. Tons of reverb bouncing around the place. Baby, don't you let me down. Don't you?
Did he let you down?
Well, I wouldn't say he let me down. I think you got to have somebody. Oh, we talk about this all the time. Somebody needs to be the quality control in some of these artists' lives. But, yeah. Peter, by the way, got shut down at karaoke because he was only drinking Pepsis. They're like, sorry, sir, if you're not going to get hammered, you can't be here.
He and Miles are right next to each other.
Miles all bummed.
By the way,
Miles Kennedy was in the video too, in the background, waiting to sing his song.
All antsy. Now, by the way, just to let you know that Peter Criss is more of an RC Cola guy.
Yeah. Oh man, a guy. He goes into restaurants and orders a tab.
Tab? Like, what do you mean you don't have tab still? What was the one that had 1,000 grams of sugar? It was a cola.
Jolt.
That's it. What a great name. Good for the kids. Go ahead.
Do you have Schweppes? So yeah, Peter's in his living room with a bottle of Schweppes, or RC Cola, or whatever. He's got like a 2-liter bottle sitting next to the video monitor. It's of course the cathode ray one. You know, it's not these new flat screens. He's still old school, but yeah, it was like, you know, and it's in a big hard room, so it sounds like complete ass, and it kind of is silly. Like, it doesn't look like this guy is a professional musician. It is like a grandchild convinced their grandpa to do this while they filmed it so they could have a viral video.
Now, here's my other question, too, is on the video itself, is he like this? Like half out of the picture the entire time, like not in front of the screen? Because that's usually what grandma and grandpa does. Whenever I FaceTime my parents, my mom is like in the corner over here. Like I see her arm. I'm like, Mom, get in front of the camera.
I think it's framed okay.
Okay. Well done for him then.
Anyway, this all ties in with Shout Out Loudcast because they tweeted it out, you know, just like basically every Kiss-related show is required to do. You have to share this now with the world and say, here's Peter. This is awesome. And so I replied with comments similar to what I just said. I think I said something along the lines of you wouldn't see, you know, Phil Collins or Don Henley or even fucking Bret Michaels doing this.
I do want to address one asshole who's a friend of ours. So, of course, he's an asshole. And that's Baco from the Cobras and Fire podcast.
Yeah,
he's been on recently.
Go after him.
He put on that this was embarrassing. An old man doing karaoke? If it's my dad, okay. But a storied musician? This only cements the idea that he's dumb and clueless when it comes to music. You'll never see Don Henley, Phil Collins, or even Bret Michaels share something this bad. First of all, Phil Collins, Don Henley, and Bret Michaels? Bret Michaels fit into that?
Because Bret Michaels is known to do some really, really shitty stuff.
The Bret Michaels thing threw me for a loop because I'm like, okay, Phil Collins, Don Henley, they're both vocalists, they're both drummers. The Bret Michaels thing, what are you doing?
Because Bret Michaels is known to do some really, really shitty stuff.
Phil Collins with his Phil Collins and Genesis catalog?
Yeah.
Maybe a top 10 selling artist of all time. Don Henley and the Eagles are definitely a top 10 sell.
Correct.
Where the fuck does Bret Michaels fit into that?
Because Bret Michaels is known to do some really, really shitty stuff.
But I think that was his point. I think he was trying to say that not even someone as horrible as Bret Michaels.
I don't know. I hope that's where he's going. But regardless, why the fuck would you take the time to write on my shit that this is embarrassing?
Okay, first of all, it's Baco.
Yeah.
He exists just to jab you, poke you.
Yeah.
Especially you, because he knows you love Peter.
But I love him. Honestly, I like Baco. He's funny and stuff.
Absolutely.
But I just got to give him shit back.
One of their latest episodes, Zeus took offense to me. Now, apparently Peter Criss is Zeus's favorite member of Kiss, which is which is sad in its own right. But
yeah.
Zeus took a little bit of offense to it and kind of came at me pretty hard. Now, for those who don't know, Zeus is a lawyer.
Can he actually defend Peter Criss?
Well, yeah, he first of all, you know, look, he made a couple valid points. Like, give him a fucking break. The guy's old, kind of, but he kind of supported my whole post. It was like, this, you know, this doesn't really need to be out there. This is not what I need as a Kiss fan. You know what I mean? I don't need to see. Look, Peter looked okay. He looked good for a man his age, all that stuff. It's good to see that he's still out there. But I'd rather see him, like, just say, hey, everybody, it's Peter Chris, and maybe tell a story or something like that than just, or, you know what, just sit and say, if he sang this, like, while his wife cooked in the kitchen and there's no music, it would have been better. Then it might have been kind of endearing, but to put his lips right in the microphone and just hear that just nasty karaoke sound, I don't know, something about it didn't rub it with me. But he also took me to task for my Kiss list, where I rank every Kiss song from worst to best, right? Mm-hmm. And he said that I had Boomerang in the top 10.
No, you didn't.
Of course I didn't. That song is fucking shit. But I had to actually go back and look. Where the fuck did I have it? I had that very close to the top 10, Luce. 199 out of 219. That he was only off by 190. So apparently it's not that hard to be. I used to think getting to, like, being a lawyer, you always hear these stories like passing the bars super hard. There must not be any math on the fucking bar. 190 out of 290 is not near the, or 219 is not near the top 10.
It's all about the decimal. He just moved it.
In other related news, they also had their own Hot in the Shade episode before us. So.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so apparently they stole it from them.
Oh, they had theirs first.
Yeah, they were on
there
first.
it's called the law of diminishing returns. What did you think about Zeus's opening arguments and summation of his points, though?
I would have won that case. I would have, as they always say, never defend yourself in court.
Yeah.
I would say if Zeus is the prosecuting attorney, you're probably okay.
Now, that's a cheap shot there.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about.
That's there. The man's profession, damn it. Here's, you know. Usually when I look for lawyers, I say one of the qualifying questions is I go over their resume and I say, do you do a Kiss podcast on the side?
I was like, before I hire you, who is your favorite member of Kiss?
Peter Chris, I'm sorry, I'm going to go with this other guy. He has a Kiss podcast too, and he's a lawyer, but he's never won a case or anything like that. But I just can't respect the fact that Peter Chris is your favorite member. So I'm going to have to find different representation.
Maybe we should get Zeus on to have the basically, I don't know, do some kind of mock trial of Cobras and Fire versus Podcast Rock City in the unclaimed credit category or something. What a shit show that
episode
would be. How would we line up? What do we need, like, 8 people?
But I think that's a great idea. We could just, we'll just be our show against their show. That would be good. I like that. And then just keep having the chum-chum in between each argument.
Maybe we get Ice-T on to kind of do the investigation on the first half of the episode.
Oh, that's true. We do. That's right. We get him as a guest star. I like it. This could be easily our worst rated episode ever.
But anyway, I of course, do not check out Podcast Rock City, but I would definitely go to Shout It Out Loudcast if you're a Kiss fan. A lot of fun stuff over there. When the noise next door is banging loud in your life, should I really get out more? Will the party down your street cause a thump in your brain to match your heart and its beat? Oh, cause when your mind unwinds and if you try and remind the noises once there,
that was the title track, House of Noise, off of the release by the band that definitely would be in my great bands with silly names category. That is Massive Wagons. And I just found out what Massive Wagons actually means. I'm not sure if it makes it better or worse, but it's some term that they heard at a some bar for a lady that's has a nice chest. massive wagons. So, I've never used that. I don't know if it's that's a UK thing, but there's the origin of that name. But definitely check it out. House of Noise. Great, fun, blissful rock and roll. What say you?
Yeah, to me it enhances the band name.
Oh, good. Okay. It doesn't make it worse, I can tell you that much.
All right. Well, I don't know if you heard, there's a pandemic going on right now. And it has taken a hit on the concert industry, something that is near and dear to both our hearts and most of our listeners. You know, it's been kind of a bummer not being able to go to a show in so long and not see any kind of live music, not even like, you know, a band at a fair. Like, they canceled the fucking state fair, man. I'm bummed. But
it's a big deal for you.
Yeah. But one band forged ahead, and they recently did a concert with a pretty full crowd and no mask, no social distancing, and they're getting a little bit of blowback from it. Great White did a concert up in Dickinson, North Dakota, which is, for those not looking at a map, it is kind of, I don't know, in the middle towards the left half of North Dakota.
Okay, that helps. I now know exactly where it is in my head, North Dakota. I was hoping I had a GPS location on that place.
Yeah,
makes the story better.
It's about a 4-score walk from where you're at by foot.
Okay, good. Good. Excellent.
A local guy here who does a lot of promotion for bands like this, he actually shared kind of the video of the event before the news kind of really broke out and blew up. I didn't really put too much thought into it other than going, God, those people are pretty packed in there. It ended up kind of coming back to them, and I kind of get it now. You know, you'd almost think if any band would know better, you know, with their history and that whole stuff with that nightclub fire, that they would. Like, they would go, we have to be a little more sensitive about this than other bands even.
Yeah, I mean, from anybody, if you said, like, hey, should we have a concert in the middle of COVID, there has to be somebody in that band or management or however
somebody.
The band is management. Somebody just goes, you know, this is probably not a good idea PR-wise, you know, if this or that. And especially since, you know, that is such a tragedy. And I don't even know who's in the band since that band. Is it most of them plus the Great Whites, man? I mean,
it is. It is at least 3, if not 4 members.
Okay. So 3 people were there for that. And then you're going to say, okay, let's just pack people in. And it's just all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's the ongoing. I remember there being really bad jokes about that fire, which I never made jokes about that. Because I can only imagine how terrible that was. But to say, like, oh, imagine if you died at a Great White concert, like that kind of joke.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing now. It's like, imagine if you got COVID going to a Great White concert. It's just odd to see. Like, how does it go from people like walking away from me at the supermarket, which people do anyway, post or pre-COVID. But I mean, like, you know, you walk down an aisle and people look like you have bombs inside, like you're going to explode. Right. You have that mental state sometimes, like, hey, especially about old people, like, I got to grab this off the shelf, but don't think I'm like threatening you by grabbing this and being within your 6-foot distance.
No,
people are just on top of people. They're just jam packed and they're like, nothing's ever happened. Like, it was just an odd thing to see, right?
They're probably sharing beers.
just sharing beers and everybody's making out with each other. It's just like a Roman orgy out there with Great White.
Now, but Paul Gargano came to their defense. I don't know if you know that name. He was the editor of Metal Edge for a while.
I do recognize that now that you say it.
He basically pointed out some statistics. It doesn't change a lot for me. The optics of this, to me, is a big enough issue that Great White probably shouldn't have done this. But he pointed out that, like, basically the county that this city is in only has 19 confirmed cases of COVID since this whole thing has onset. But what he didn't mention is that's like half the population of the entire state of North Dakota.
I mean, that can make sense. I mean, if you're in Montana, you're probably pretty safe if you finally get together for a gathering.
Probably, safer.
You know,
that's
saying?
For sure. Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, I think they're probably drawing a little more attention, rightfully so, because of their history with tragedy at a concert. But I don't know. They did apologize with one of the worst apologies ever. I'll read it for you if you like.
Please.
Yeah, we have had the luxury of hindsight, and we would like to apologize to those who disagreed with our decision to fulfill our contractual agreement. The promoter and staff were nothing but professional and assured us of the safety precautions. So that's a sorry, not sorry, which to me doesn't help the situation. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
We all know the issues between the current Great White and their former singer, Jack Russell. One thing that Jack did is he came out and he wanted people to know this is not me, that kind of stuff. It was a little kind of chippy and petty because of the personal relationship, even though I agree with what he's saying. I think his motivations were probably less genuine. But that I stood by him because a good 10 years, if not longer, after that fire, Mark Kendall, the guitar player of Great White, the current Great White, who was at the station house when it burned down, made it clear that that was actually Jack Russell's band. And we were just playing under the Great White moniker. So he wanted to separate himself from that back then. So I have no problem with Jack kind of throwing some shit back at those guys.
And I did notice, though, that he was also having a little bit of a dig. Did you notice that pack of Crest whitening strips that was right next to him?
Weren't you that guy in Van Halen? I get asked that a lot.
He's trying to get his teeth even whiter.
That's right. I'll win this war.
You know, this all kind of ties into what's going on with the concert industry, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you brought up a point that I'd maybe saw a blurb about, but I hadn't really looked into it as much. You want to hit on that?
Yeah, Live Nation is trying to basically put all the liability on artists going forward as far as, you know, any, you know, lawsuits and that kind of stuff related to COVID, which is going to make it even harder for these bands to come back.
Yeah, I don't even see how that's ever going to work. I mean, you're telling me that if I go into a town and I go into a venue and I don't know who's responsible for the people working concessions and things like that. I mean, there's different agreements, different places, but mm-hmm. you're telling me that I, for somebody that's going to be on stage for an hour and a half, am responsible for all the shit that goes down in that building. If somebody gets sick at my show,
right.
I can't tour then. There's no way. There's so many variables. I mean, the person that you're actually going and paying from, the venue itself, if anything, the venue should have a liability on them, I would think, because it's their procedures. Do you know what I'm trying to say here?
Because Live Nation is a evil company, I think they should be liable for everything. Everything that's wrong in the world, I think we should sue Live Nation for.
Well, I agree too. I mean, they have the fees to defend themselves.
Well, I think what a lot of this has to come is that like they're starting to the whole business model of Live Nation and Ticketmaster. To me, I gotta believe if we peeled back, it's a house of cards. Like and now the cards are being pulled out from the bottom with this. And once again, as of course society is wont to do, we are allowing the wrong lesson to be learned here. The lesson should be, fuck you guys, your business is shitty, and you really shouldn't exist. Nope, we got to figure out a different way that we can continue to be shitty and just take less of the financial risk. So fuck them.
Yes, they are essentially Enron.
Yeah.
If you ever broke that down with all the shady back end deals, I mean, however you want to do it, they were trading. Yeah. Not to get crazy here with stuff, but they were doing all kinds of stuff with energy trading and shady accounting practices. That's essentially what Live Nation is there's all kinds of backdoor deals and scalping, and it's all mm-hmm. this. But to put liability on the artists, I mean, they're just getting by already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With everything
exactly.
combined. I mean, how is that from a business model too, going to encourage people to even step back into touring? I mean, it's had, and I'll also say from an emotional standpoint, it's been hard for this summer for everything like that mm-hmm. with just having nothing for to look forward to on the weekend. And I've had all these little pop-ups. I think I mentioned this before, which says like this concert I was supposed to go to. There's at least seven or eight on my little phone calendar. And it's like, nope, this was canceled. This was going to be awesome. I mean, this was a great year of your heritage acts and newer acts that we like all going on tour.
Yeah. Remember back in January, we did a discussion on this. We were basically like, everybody's on tour.
Yeah. We're like, this year is going to be fucking awesome. Look at the schedule. So for it to happen this year too was bizarre, but yeah, Live Nation, go.
Eat a dick, Live Nation. I mentioned just a little bit ago when I was bitching about those Kiss podcasts that are mean to us, that Bret Michaels is known to do some really shitty stuff, too. His movie, Letter from Death Row, have you ever seen that?
A good writer can make the mind imagine. A great writer can make the mind believe.
No, but I'm looking at the, I know of it, and I'm looking at the poster right now, and it is amazing.
In our off-air conversations, you actually, despite not seeing it, summarized the movie perfectly, and it is basically Green Mile for those who have suffered severe head trauma.
That's correct.
It's also, did you know it stars Charlie Sheen?
Yes, I did.
Okay, if you look at the DVD cover and stare at his picture up in the corner, if you stare at it for 3 seconds, you will have seen his entire appearance in the movie.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he pops out of a cop car, and that's the actual shot is from this scene. He basically gets out of the car and points a gun at Brett, and that's it. You don't see him again.
Oh, that's awesome. I figured those two were bros together. I can see them definitely hanging out and having dinner. Yeah, okay. But I do like the fact that in A Letter from Death Row, the cover, just so you know, is a shirtless and Bret Michaels on an electric chair with great abs. So he must have done a lot of crunches right before he was about to be executed. That's what I'm guessing the plot is him getting in shape. Like, it's like Rocky IV, except he dies at the end.
Yeah, I'll spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what happens in the movie, just kind of dial the volume down for about 10 seconds. But basically, yeah, he is framed for a crime he didn't commit, and murdering somebody. I think his girlfriend, a stripper. His girlfriend, who's a stripper, by the way. And there's this great prison scene where basically he's attacked in the shower by a couple other inmates. Now, you know what happens next, right?
I'm assuming he drops the soap and things happen.
They shave his head.
Oh.
Yeah, the standard prison shower thing, you know, the trauma. And it, of course, it traumatizes him as if he just got anally plowed, you know, raped. So,
sure. Well, I mean,
it is really a bad movie.
Well, I definitely want to watch it because I just want to know how his penmanship is with his letters.
Yeah. You know, the weird thing is that Martin Sheen plays his dad, and there's a much bigger scene with him in there. So I'm not sure why he doesn't get a little more. Maybe Martin's like, I'll fucking do this, but you cannot put me on the cover. Charlie said he'd go to rehab if I did this. So.
Do you mind? I'm looking at his IMDb right now.
Oh, Brett? Can I?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Okay. Just so you know, I pulled this up the other day prepping for this, and I was I about fell out of my chair and thought my entire weekend is going to be taken over by Bret Michaels' IMDb movie history, because it says 58 credits at first. I was like, there's no way that Bret Michaels has been in 58 TV shows or movies. And that's not just Rock of Love episodes combined. That's this one thing. And then I saw that it was bullshit because it was basically credited to the music of basically Nothing But a Good Time and Every Rose Has Its Thorn has been in like 58 different movies and stuff like that. Because I was like, oh, this is gold, man. I get to watch Bret Michael guest starring in all these movies. But no, it's basically the 1998 classic Letter from Death Row.
So. Oh, well, that's too bad.
But he has something else coming out.
Yeah, he's back. He's making another movie. This is it's prepped as a action suspense movie, and it's called The Music Man. And Brett shared a quick video of himself doing firearms training for the film. So
I did watch that.
Yeah, it's now he's got no details as of right now, but
no, but it involves apparently his. His tutor for shooting guns is like some lady from CrossFit who's following him around. If you notice that,
yeah, I mean it's somebody who works on actual movies too.
That is true, but so if you're looking for Bret Michaels to discharge a weapon, coming up here soon, he's ready to roll.
Does he have his own clothing line yet? I mean, I know he's got dog clothes.
Isn't it called Rock Your Dog?
Yeah, I mean, something like that, of course, yeah. I'm surprised this movie's not called Rock Your Movie or something. Yeah,
Rock Your RV, all that stuff like that. I mean, I think he does have leisure wear for RV enthusiasts. I think it's his new project.
And fresh off a stint on The Masked Singer where he remarkably lasted way too long. That was about as legit as a wrestling match outcome.
Yes, that was a big reveal. That's when he put his star back in the sky. And that's how he got this gig, shooting guns. And just so you know, I'm not sure if you RV Leisurewear is a ripped pair of boxer shirts, nothing else, and you're always holding a Coors Light in your hand. That's RV Leisurewear.
Apparently, so I'm wearing it right now, then.
All this yelling, what I think a lot of times is the power of positive thinking is also a thing, man. You know, sometimes I channel my inner Andrew WK and I put on my white pants and I think I need to be a motivational speaker. And one of those things to think about is there's no concerts right now. So let's just talk about something positive. But it has given these artists a lot of creativity as far as doing streaming live acts and things like that. Mm-hmm. You've seen some of that. Like Bullet Boys did a kind of a cool one.
That Monsters of the Rock thing. Yeah. Have you seen any of those? I talked about it with Ron Young a little bit. But
yeah, like how they have the three walls. It has like video screens and they're like in some kind of studio. Or yeah. I don't even know where it is. Do you know where it is?
It's in L.A. somewhere. But
okay. That's been pretty cool. Like everybody's kind of doing their own thing for like an hour show, and they're well produced. They sound good. So I saw that one. Did you see any other ones besides that?
I saw the Bullet Boys and the Little Caesar one. And the Bullet Boys, because remember early on we weren't terribly impressed with the reunited lineup.
Rough.
Yeah. They seem to have got it pulled it together. So I was happy with that.
I like it. It is odd seeing Mark without a guitar again. I actually do like him with a guitar.
Same here.
Probably because. That's just the way I've ever seen him live before, and I thought it was pretty badass. That's a little different, but then also you have my infatuation with the funny named band Mustache. They are doing all kinds of random concerts now, where they'll play. It's like Where's Waldo? They played a concert on a boat, like a pier just in front of some random ocean. Then they played on a golf course under some tents, but they're putting on like full hour and a half shows, taking audience requests like before on Facebook. So they do deep tracks. Tuck Smith, formerly of the Biters, does this thing where he does in his attic almost every week, Facebook Live on
Tuesday.
Yeah,
I've seen those.
He'll just bust out his guitar. He even put out a six track that has a cover of like six covers, including Hard Luck Woman. He just put out a release called Songs from the Quarantine or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of fun. He's actually somebody I want to get on the show because he just talks. He goes off in the music industry, tells stories. But we wouldn't have these type of things, I think, without the situation we're in. So I'm glad to see a lot of artists are doing that. Clutch, they're actually doing like paid shows too, which I'm not sure if that's the way to go. But Clutch put on a full performance last month too, I believe.
Yeah, and Charlie Benante has been doing just basically Kiss covers with random people.
That's
he
right.
Just dropped one with his girlfriend, the singer from Butcher Babies, doing "Come On and Love Me," and the Testament guitar player Alex Skolnick.
There's that quarantine with a K thing where Chris Jericho and what Bruce Kulick and two random dudes seems to. Be in there. And the one thing I think about those is that I think is amusing is I am kind of over the whole isolation videos of you, of people pretending to play to what's not the actual music that you're hearing.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm kind of bored with it too. I'd rather see a live performance. I understand there's hurdles to doing that kind of stuff. A lot of these people live, you know, when they're not touring, nowhere near each other. But I don't know. I think it's kind of been played out.
Right.
And I really don't need. Look, I'm not a cover song guy either. You know, some of this stuff is fun. I've liked a couple that Charlie did, but that quarantine stuff for the most part hasn't done much for me, other than to like basically hear spot on renditions with a inferior vocalist. Sorry, Jericho, you're just not Paul Stanley. But I like Jericho. He seems to be a pretty chill dude, except for on Twitter. But
so what I've been doing lately, and I suggest others do, is to save those reminders or whatever when you're subscribing, because I get alerts saying like Tuck Smith is now in his attic and he's going to get drunk and play some music or whatever your bands are. So that's been a kind of a cool thing to know you have that and to hear something a little different.
And Paul Stanley has been kind of melting down.
Good.
He's clearly bored as fuck. They actually have a name for him on Shout It Out Loudcast. I don't know if you've heard it, but they call him Pandemic Paul. But yeah, like he'll post something on social media and he'll be like sitting in his driveway on his mountain bike. He's like, I bought this bike in 94. And he's like just smiling. And then I actually liked the kind of where he kind of broke down the song and would play it. But he almost like insisted that we have to. Like, I'm going to sing it, though. Like, he could have just sang it through, you know what I mean? You know, it's just him in his little studio off his house there. He didn't need to prove that he can still sing because he can't, and it was actually kind of sad to see that. But
sure.
And he's like, I don't know. He's at the level where he's posting pictures of his food on Facebook, so...
So we have two ends of the spectrum. Those actually creating creative content and those losing their minds.
Yeah. I almost feel bad for Paul because it's clear that he doesn't have that in him to just be that stay-at-home dad now. Like, he wants to go and leave the kids and the wife. This is my job, okay?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He's like a traveling salesman that now is can't travel anymore.
And almost 50 years he's been doing this, and now he's stuck.
That's right. He's got a cycle. He has to, you know, there's a routine, man. You break the routine and start losing your shit.
I'm nervous, so nervous. I overeat. I lack purpose. And I'm only scratching the surface. And I'm not shelved, cause sex sells. But how long till I'm canceled? This is 30, fucking 30. I'm still here. Twice every hour. And my band's sick, cause my head's sick.
Yeah, okay.
I get drunk and I'm reckless. Stop my Twitter, stand my bullshit. This is 30.
Someone we've talked quite a bit about on this show is Sebastian Bach. He's been very vocal on Twitter. He's anti-Trump. He has a lot of political ideas he wants to share right now. But he also recently got into a bit of a Twitter beef with, I don't know, we could call him a decent guy. I mean, I interviewed him for Decibel Geek TV. Chris Jericho, the wrestler known as Jericho, he is the frontman of Fozzy.
Sure.
And, you know, I think a well-known metalhead, right? I mean, he was basically the mascot for that metal show for 10 seasons or what, however long that went.
Oh, yeah. I mean, advocate for the genre, you know, definitely seems like a nice guy. He's got a cute name for a band, Fozzy. I mean, that's adorable.
Yeah. I've never really heard where that came from, have you?
Basically, they were in a cover band that did a lot of Ozzy tunes at some point. And so they took it like a joke project and turned it real. So I would say an decent band with a silly name.
You know what? I think I actually asked him that question in the 5-minute interview.
He didn't listen to his answer. You listened to mine, though.
Oh, man, I remember it now on playback. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to Chris, largely because at the time, our Three Sides of the Coins, Tommy Summers was basically trying to molest him. He was stalking him very hardcore. Mm. And Jericho gave him a pretty cold shoulder. He's like, I got to do this. Because I had a prearranged interview where Tommy was just trying to, like, show him some sweet sign. And, of course, Tommy eventually got his way because, you know, he's one of those little brats. But back to this supposed beef between Bach and Jericho. I'm not really sure how serious to take this, considering Chris Jericho's wrestling background and Sebastian Bach being a complete idiot. But it basically all started with one person tweeting to Sebastian Bach. Some jerkhole on Twitter. I don't even have his name on the screen here. But it says, Chris Jericho is starting to look like Sebastian Bach. And, of course, Sebastian Bach responds with, every single day for the last 2 or 3 years, somebody tells me this. Which, so that was, you know, Sebastian's Twitter reply.
I'm starting to see some connection between Bacho and Bach. I think it's maybe your alter ego is Bach-O, because you guys both go off about shit on Facebook.
Sebastian Bacho.
Yeah, continue. Right.
Well, of course, after that, some other asshat on Twitter had to chime in. He says, this time kind of coming at Sebastian Bacho.
Oh, okay.
And it said, you party too much, Jericho has you beat. And, of course, Sebastian Bacho is not going to let that go.
Uh-uh.
He definitely does, considering he mimes to a tape. Oh, my God. And, yeah. of course, one other guy, just random dude. Now they're starting to get at old Sebastian here a little bit. And he goes, you know he tours with his band, right? I've seen him live a couple times. He's not lip syncing. And that's where things get dirty, because old Bacho, whatever we were going to call Sebastian sure. here, he goes, cool, let me see a clip of that, because every single clip I've seen is Milli Vanilli. And here comes Jericho.
I sing my ass off every night. Do you really want to go there, dude? Hi, I'm Chris Milli Vanilli Jericho. I have 5 top 30 singles in the last 5 years with my band Fozzy. I'm a huge fan of Sebastian Bach, who had 3 top 30 singles 30 years ago. I always admired him as a singer and a friend, and I still do.
That's great, man. Is there a clip of you actually singing live? Because all I have seen are clips of you miming to tape. Congrats on the radio hits, and your hair is certainly looking good these days.
I've seen the derogatory comments towards me from somebody I considered to be a friend. So with that in mind, I'm happy to have a singer for Sebastian Bach. No effects, no turning. No bullshit. Bass is a great singer, but I'm better. You got my number, dude. Call me.
Where is the derogatory comment? All I asked is to see one single clip of you singing live. Every clip on the internet is you miming to a tape. I will sing in your fucking face anytime. Wrestling is not rock and roll. I will show you fucking rock and roll.
I've never mimed anything ever. I will fucking sing in your face anytime, any place, dude. I've been a fan and a defender of you since day one. But don't question my rock abilities and leave wrestling out of this. I can hit a G4, bro.
It's amazing. You regurgitate my own tweet about copying me in your own tweet. It's like the exact same tweet. Explain this clip, please advise. And then he rolled, he shared some Facebook video that I can say I watched. It's very, there's no conclusive evidence to me that he's slip syncing, but he did tweet out one more thing before going to bed, and it mentions going to bed.
Okay. Go ahead.
Someone just notified me that my name is number 9 trending Twitter topic of the United States of America. Okay, well, I better go to bed. So, yeah.
So what did Jericho do?
Well, Jericho then posted a video. Did you watch this of him doing an a cappella version singing Youth Gone Wild?
We are the young, so raise your hand! They call us problem child. We spend our lives on trial. We walk an endless mile. We are the youth gone wild. We stand and we won't fall. We're one and one for all. The writing's on the wall. We are the youth gone wild. Living in wild. Yeah.
The whole thing seems really dumb. And this video of Jericho, to me, actually doesn't really help Jericho's point, because he sounds like a guy that can't really sing. Like, he can kind of like mime some metal that he grew up listening to, okay.
Sure.
But it kind of, to be honest with you, it reminded me, I don't know if you recall this, when Beyonce caught a lot of shit for lip syncing the national anthem at Obama's inauguration. And largely because when she was asked about it, she said she was saving her voice. It was cold and she didn't want to ruin her voice because she had the Super Bowl coming up. Basically saying singing at the Super Bowl is more important than
the president of the United States.
Yeah, the presidential inauguration.
How dare
I'm
she?
Among the people who gave her crap. But she showed up at the Super Bowl press conference and just smugly did an acapella, you know, a very unimpressive acapella version of the national anthem that showed that, yeah, she could almost hit some notes for the whole song. And that's kind of what I got with this. Is like, Jericho, this didn't really prove that you can sing or that you sing live. It just proves you can kind of sound like some kind of super fanboy, you know, in front of his cell phone video camera. I'm not saying he lip syncs, by the way. I don't know. Look, I basically, before I even got this far into this thing, I was like, this reeks of just, I don't know, unnecessary, we're bored during COVID publicity, especially with Jericho's background. This is basically wrestling without wrestling, which is what wrestling is. You know, it's just a lot of talk and hype. And you know, I mean, maybe Sebastian just woke up one day and said he wanted to be on the list, man. I don't know. It's like,
you just made the list!
I don't know if you know that, get that reference from Jericho's wrestling character.
Hold on. Jericho did also say, do I even know you, bro? How much do you lift? I don't know.
Oh, man, you are addicted to the Jericho tweet voice.
I really am.
That might be something we have to keep in the back pocket there. But anyway, this is like going to be the worst rated episode. What if these guys actually have a sing-off? You know what I mean? Like, this would be like the worst rated episode of The Voice. I mean, this is the one where Adam Lambert doesn't turn his chair around.
Yeah, this is called Who Gives a Fuck Season 1.
Lip sync showdown between Sebastian Bach and Chris Jericho. Oh, yeah.
Hey, what about, but it'll only be better if it's a sing-off between those two and the judge is a singing banana.
Now Brett I'm Michaels. Interested. Now Brett I'm Michaels officially with in. I am in. Yeah, Brett Michaels should produce the sing-off.
Brett Michaels is the deciding vote on who's a better singer.
Well, Bach did kind of throw some shade back at Jericho by throwing some screenshots of him texting Jericho with no response. And I think in it, he actually like threatens to like fight him or something. Yeah, they'll get in the ring because he's like 6'4" and
yeah.
He's never lost a fight or something. Yeah. So I don't know. Sure. Where are your thoughts? This is the real feud, fake. Who would win in a sing-off and who would win in a fight?
I just think this is the really dumbed-down version of rap artist beefs of the 80s, you know.
This is Biggie and Tupac 2.0.
Right. That one was turned out to be pretty real. but the other ones came out many times that they were all like made up.
Oh, right. I know what you're saying.
Lots of them later on. Between the two, they actually made deals between music labels of saying like, okay, we'll hype up your product by doing this. So this is just this is one that ends up with no profit.
Yeah. Well, besides just making the list, Sebastian has also drawn a lot of ire from haters because, you know, he's kind of a jackass and a loudmouth and he doesn't have the sleekest reputation. For myself, I will tell you, if I had to sit next to somebody on a plane, I'm probably picking Sebastian for the stories. And not the ones he's going to tell, the ones I'm going to tell.
That's right. The answers he gives.
Yeah. And if I had to go on tour and share a bus with somebody for a month, I'm picking Jericho hands down.
You just made the list.
Hey, can we do a Jericho and Sebastian on a plane sitting next to each other real quick?
Yeah, sure. What's the topic?
Hey, Rachel, can you come here, please? How many of those
little bottles of tequila can I get at the same time? Is there a limit? Sebastian, are you in or what, bro?
Oh, my God. Can you shut up, my lord? I need another pillow. Miss, where is the stewardess?
Did you know this is the guy from Skid Row I'm next to?
I'm going to get kicked off this plane, and it's going to be your fault.
I really don't have anyone to take this bit. I just decided I want to be in a plane with Sebastian Bach.
Oh, my God. Me neither.
I think that's a cue to end this. What do you say?
Right on, man.
Rock's not dead.
But it stayed up a little too late drinking with the guy at the Decibel Geek, so sorry, folks.
This time around, dude, there's a whole lot of trouble coming. The cops and killers. Color clothes.
Come on, let me fucking hear you!
Stark heels kicking rhythm of social circumcision. Can't close the closet on a shoebox alone.
Just do hashtags eat a dick on all Live Nation posts. Is that the day? That's our version of me too.
Hit them up on Twitter today. I'll blast them with a bunch of eat a dick. Just retweet everything they said with hashtag eat a dick.
Baco. Great. I'm glad we're taking the high road on this one.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.